Reading to you from 1 John, 3rd chapter, with the 24th verse. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Jesus ever since. Well, friends, listen. Keep praying for us. I've been having ups and down relapses and pneumonia and everything else, but I haven't quit. As long as the Lord will give me the strength, I want to keep on keeping on. Well, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Pour you a glass of iced tea. Maybe that's what you need, or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and let's begin reading with the first verse. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And then we turn over to verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death unto life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. For whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in needs and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And then we turn to 4th chapter and we read between the 9th and 10th verse. 9 and 10, okay. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Friends, tonight we're going to talk about John, the witness of love. Oh, friends, listen. John's writings are the favorite of many. Millions and millions of copies of the Gospel of John has been printed and distributed. I remember listening to a radio program many, many years ago called, Back to God. No, that wasn't. Anyway, they used to fly down into Mexico with these Gospel Johns, and they would drop them out of airplanes. And one day, back in a remote part of Mexico, this young man saw these Bibles coming floating down from the heavens. And he went and picked one up, and he sat down and read it. And there he found Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, he got so excited about it that he decided to go back to the village that night and have the people come, and he would tell them what he found on the ground for the come out of the airplane, and he was going to tell them how he trusted Jesus. Now, friends, this is This is a true story. Boy, I did. Makes your hair stand and then your blood boil. Well, you know there's the religious leaders in that town. And when he was up there to tell them how he met Jesus and tell him about the Lord, these religious leaders come in, drug him out, tied a rope around his legs, and drug him through the city and killed him. You say that don't happen today? I won't tell you what religion is, but I think you probably know. Well, the work of John is used for evangelism and for Christian growth. New converts are often advised, I surely do, to read the Gospel of John first. The scope of John's witness was wide. In his Gospel, he chronicled the life of Jesus. And in this epistle, he taught how to live with assurance of salvation. Did you know there's a lot of people who do not have the assurance of salvation? You know why? Because they haven't trusted Jesus. Now I'm not saying everybody. Now, I know that there's times they tell me that people doubt their salvation experience. I don't doubt mine. I was there the morning. I repented. My life changed immediately that day. God delivered me from alcoholism. I started reading my Bible and going to church, and I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I'd read it, and I'd read it, and you know what I found? Every chapter I could read, it seemed like God saying, Cecil, I love you. Now, if we love God like we say we do, then we should be talking about Him. We should be telling our neighbors, our families, our friends, our sisters, and our daughters, and our sons. Well, I know a lot of Christians that never witness. Now, if you read the book of Acts, we're commanded to be witnesses. That's right. It's not an option. We are commanded, and we don't do it. What's wrong? Well, there's a possibility that the people who don't want to witness don't know Him. You can't witness of something you never saw. I remember years and years ago, I was driving over this bridge, and I saw this wreck. Now, I didn't see the wreck actually happen, but I saw the evidence. So they were both parked side road, and I went right on by, and they took my license plate number, and I got subpoenaed to court. Well, I was to stand up and testify what I had seen, and I said, Your Honor, I did not see the accident. All I saw was the evidence of the accident. Well, now, if you haven't experienced the new birth, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you cannot testify because you don't know Him. And if we know Him, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Now, the revelation, He revealed God's prophetic, in the book of Revelation, the prophetic plan. Love flows through John's witness. Let's read that 3:1 again. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Friends, you know what? When you go to a restaurant to eat, you and your wife, do you ask the blessing? Well, I know a lot of Christians that, I just don't feel right. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus myself. No, I'm not. Well, anyway, John was first introduced to Christ, and I read in Matthew 4:21, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers. Well, Jesus called to James and John while they were fishing. They were making a living, but all of a sudden they saw the Lord of Lords, the King of the Lord, Jesus Christ. What did they do? Well, we've got to go talk to our parents and see if they'll let us leave the fishing. No, they immediately followed Jesus. And you ever notice the teachings of Paul? Whenever he got a command from the Lord, when he got the Macedonian call, immediately he went. He didn't stop and beg money from people on the streets or on the radio. He didn't have no radio then. But, you know, I can't grasp why preachers get up and preach on faith and then beg for money. That's hypocritical. Well, anyway, there was something about that call of love that John could not resist. John learned about love. He wanted the Lord to call down fire on Samaria, and I read in Luke 9:51, and it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume him? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. You know, every place Jesus went, they sure didn't accept him. Well, he observed the Lord's love for the woman at the well. Now, you remember that, John. Now, they were traveling, and anyway, they got hungry. And he said, but I must needs go through Samaria. So when they got it to Jacob's well there, Jesus said, I'm going to stay and rest. So the disciples, they went on in town to get the food, and Jesus knew why he was there, because sure enough, here was going to come a Samaritan woman. And he asked her to draw him some water, and boy, oh boy, she said, how can you do that? And he said, you know, the water that I have to give you, you'll never thirst again. Well, she said, that I want. And he said, about his husband. And she said, well, Jesus said, the one you're living with, you're not even your husband. She was shacking up with him. All right. Now, she trusted Jesus, and she got so happy. What did she do? She run back to town and said, I have found the Messiah. And, of course, you know the Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. Well, the people was, now they knew what kind of woman she was, but here they came out to see the Jesus. Well, let me tell you what. That's what happens when we trust Jesus, dear friends. You want to tell somebody about him. Now, you men, you remember when you were courting your wife? Oh, my stars, all you could see is that woman. You were in love. Man, were you in love. And every place you went, you talked about the woman of your life, the one you're going to marry. Well, what's the difference? When we trust Jesus, we want to share him with people. Now, you say, I don't know, Cecil. Well, I do. The minute I got saved, the first thing God laid on my heart was my wicked stepmother, whom I hated for so many years. I had to forgive her what she did. And then my two brothers came before me. Both of them were well-to-do. Both of them were lost. Both of them needed Jesus. So I started my work with them. I sent them books. I sent them tracts. I'd call them on the phone. I'd witness to them. And they got awful mad at me. They thought, who, this old drunken little brother of ours, an old drunk, now he got converted, now he's trying to tell the whole world about Jesus. They were right. I sure did. Well, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. I prayed for my brother, for one brother for 23 years before he was saved, and I prayed for my oldest brother for 26 years before I introduced him to Christ personally myself. So you say, well, Cecil, I've got a lost mom or lost dad and a lost son or daughter or mother or wife. You see, it is hard, and I would be stupid if I told you it was not hard to witness to your own family, because it is. Because they know the life that you live. But if you're living your life right, don't preach at them. Don't preach down your nose at them. Talk about the love of God and tell them how you feel in your own heart. Tell them what it's like to be able to pray for someone who's sick. And you know, friends, if you know me, you'll know that that's one of my greatest loves and joys is to pray for people. I get calls from all over the country, yes, in the United States, and I in turn call my ex-pastor in Oregon, and he puts them on worldwide prayer chain. They pray for us over in Russia and Africa and Korea and Egypt and all other places. But you know, that's a ministry. You say, Cecil, you know, I really can't witness. I'm kind of old and feeble. Well, look at you can pray. Sure you can. Pray for your pastor. Spend time praying for your pastor. Take times to pray for your deacons and for your Sunday school teachers. Oh, how they need prayer. Pray for me. Boy, howdy, I need your prayers. And oh, how I appreciate you precious people to pray for me. I'll call people in the Dalles. See, Dalles is where I was born and raised. I still love the Dalles and I still love the people there. And I call them, maybe call Bill Elton or call Millie or Marie, or maybe I call Bud or Betty or somebody to pray for me. And I know they will. And it means so much to me. It's a personal thing. And people need our prayers, believe you me. Well, John, he witnessed the Lord's love for the woman, taken in adultery. You remember the story. Here she was, and these Pharisees drug her before Jesus and said, hey, we caught this woman in adultery. And they fully expected Jesus to come down on her real hard, but he didn't. He knelt, and he wrote in the sand. Now, I don't know what he wrote, but he wrote something. And then he said, first of all, he who is without stone may cast, who's without sin can cast the first stone. Well, pretty soon Jesus looked up and said, where are your accusers? Said, they're gone. He said, go and sin no more. Oh, friends, listen. I'm not perfect, and you know I'm not. You're not perfect, you know that. You can't find a perfect church, because there is none on this earth. The only perfect church that you can be born into is the family of God when you've accepted Christ as Savior. Well, watching Jesus, John saw God's love in action. So can we. Well, you know, John witnessed about our love for others, and as proof, we have passed from death to life. We love the brethren. Now, here is a mark of salvation that is unmistakable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you find any greater love than that? That someone would die for you and I while we're yet sinners? He died for us. Someone told me, my sins weren't there at the cross. I said, oh, yeah, they were. The sins of the world was upon him. He who himself was sinless, without sin. But he became sin, that you and I might have our sins forgiven and write our name in the Lamb Book of Life, and we have life forever and forever. We cannot love God and hate brothers and sisters in Christ. Here are some strong words. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, is a murderer. We can know all the facts of the gospel and be spiritually dead. Listen to this. A person can believe in God, yet feel he's above others. He can act prideful, arrogant, and super spiritual. He may hope for eternity to be with God and with other believers, yet he can be cold and distant. But love True love has no weakness or dangers. Love never fails, never comes short. But remember, love is not indulgence and license. Love involves control and disciples, as well as care and giving, selfless and sacrifice. Our spiritual temperature is revealed on a thermometer of love. Now, love for other Christians is measured by our kindness to them. Listen, we are to lay down our lives for those in the family of God. When we see people in need, we are to help them with our resources. Friends, I'm not the smartest man in the world, and I'm sure not the richest, but I sure like to help people. And I really do. It just does my heart good. I've got several preachers that I help support. Why? Because they need help. And if God supplies our needs, I've got to help them. That is, if I love the Lord. Selfishness is the opposite of love. Read the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. John witnessed about the greatest example of love. I read in John 4, 9, 10. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, friends, listen. The cross is the greatest example of God's love. John had stood at the cross and been commissioned there. John 19:25. Therefore the soldiers did dead things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Behold your son." Then he said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciples took her into their own household. He learned that God loved him and had work for him to do. Listen, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Writing these words must have reminded him of John 3:16. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The message of the cross is a message of salvation. And God's love is demonstrated in the death of Christ. Listen, I want to ask you, how long has it been since you told someone of God's love? What have you done to show your love for other Christians? Does the love of God motivate and empower your witnessing? Oh, friends, he is a God of love. John witnessed this love, and he shared it with us tonight. Friends, let me ask you, do you want to amount to something for Jesus? Some people are wannabes. You want to serve the Lord because you love him and because he changed your life. I'm urging you tonight. You say, "But Cecil, I don't know the Lord." I know about him. I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray. I give. Have you trusted him? Have you been born again? If not, here's a prayer that can change your life for all eternity. And don't you dare pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll forgive my sins, and I confess I'm a sinner, and I'm turning my back on the old way of life to receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. You get on the phone, you call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you, and I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Oh, but I want to see you in heaven. Be sure and trust him. Call me tonight. Call me collect if you can't afford the call. 303-471-8534.
Shame. touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you for listening. But, oh, dear friends, get busy and talk to people about Jesus. You don't have to preach them a sermon. Tell them what you experienced when you invited Christ into your heart. If you're not happy with Jesus, I suggest that you get down on your knees. And if you've heard that song, let's have a little talk with Jesus. You need to talk to him. If you have a need tonight, talk to him. If you have a problem, talk to him. You're so important in his life. He wants you to be happy. Sure he does. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be sure and continue to pray for me and my wife. Pray for our health as we go to prisons. And I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.